The question of language and its political implications has exercised writers, linguists, philosophers, and social theorists, to name a few, throughout the intellectual history of Western civilization. It is noticeable, too, that the subject has inspired extreme pessimism from ancient Greece to Orwell's 1984. So speech and writing, language, gender, has been credited with a malign power to regulate human social relations in ways we are not aware of, and to disguise important truths in a cloud of misleading rhetoric. Today's speakers and writers inherit the idea that language is a weapon used by the powerful to oppress and silence their subordinates. Nor is this belief unjustified. But why should language and knowledge about language be a resource for the powerful alone? Why shouldn't this weapon be appropriated by the other side? These are the questions asked. Feminists had constantly asked these questions, addressing it in various ways. For instance, at the Seneca Falls Convention of 1848, a landmark event in America of feminism, delegates adopted a resolution protesting the contemporary restrictions on women's rights and raised the question of gendered masculine pronouns more than 100 years ago. In the early part of the century, modernist woman writers like Virginia Woolf and Dorothy Richardson debated the question of the woman's sentence, searching for a literary language that would fit the feminine experience they sought to express. In the present wave of feminist activity, now more than 20 years old, women have returned to these same questions, even more insistently, as we shall see. Clearly, feminists do not consider language a side issue or a luxury, but an essential part of the struggle for liberation. So if we define feminism, first it's necessary, I think, to do so. This term does not have any one agreed upon meaning that could be formulated at a set of beliefs. There are many feminisms, but all are informed by certain shared concerns. At a political level, feminism is a movement for the full humanity of women. Notice, I do not say women's rights or even equality. Equality presupposes a standard to which one is equal. In this case, the implied standard is men. Feminists are ultimately in pursuit of a more radical change, the creation of a world in which one gender does not set the standard of human value. Even the most moderate liberal feminist, who has as her main goal the free entry of women to traditionally male domains, will sometimes express doubt as to whether our current values and yardsticks of success are really ideal for anyone, male or female. Of course, women must, as a precondition to any wholesale change in values, be liberated from their present subordinate position with its multiple restrictions, exclusions, and oppressions, such as relative poverty, economic dependence, sexual exploitation, and vulnerability to violence, poor health, overwork, lack of civil and legal rights. The list goes on and on. But the transformation that will result from this liberation is envisioned as a profound one, affecting the whole of humanity. As an intellectual approach, feminism seeks to understand how current relations between women and men are constructed.